here's a story from The World.
As the U.S. finds itself at a crossroads between one president and another, the United Nations happens to be conducting its regular review of the United States' human rights record. It does this every 4.5 years with each of its 193 member states. This time around, the Trump administration is using the review as a final platform to defend its America First approach. The World's Rupa Shenoy reports.
We will now proceed with the review of the United States of America.
This is the U.S.'s third Universal Periodic Review. It's supposed to be a rare opportunity for member countries to evaluate each other on progress toward the global body's founding principles of human rights. The result is a set of recommendations by the evaluating countries. And while those recommendations aren't enforced, Nicoleta Zapile's group did a study that shows they're surprisingly effective. She's with UPR Info in Geneva.
Over 50% of UPR recommendations trigger an action. Steps are taken to implement those recommendations.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Madam President.
In his presentation to the UN, U.S. Ambassador Andrew Brennberg portrayed the Trump administration as a human rights champion. He highlighted the steps the Trump administration has taken to protect religious liberty by creating an international religious freedom alliance with a joint declaration in support of defending life and protecting the family.
As we witness a time of unprecedented degradation of human rights by authoritarian governments around the world, it is more important than ever to stand up to defend human rights and fundamental freedoms.
Brennberg said the Trump administration welcomes transparency and constructive criticism. Joanne Kamoff Ward says that's how the Trump administration would like to be remembered, despite reality. She's director of the Human Rights in the U.S. Project at Columbia Law School.
There has been this ongoing narrative by Trump that the U.S. remains a global human rights leader, while at the same time we've seen the exact opposite.
We shall now begin the interactive dialogue.
Representatives from the evaluating countries talked fast. They only had a minute each, and often said, with all due respect, before picking the Trump administration's narrative apart, listing the many ways the U.S. doesn't live up to its human rights obligations. Russia mentioned a big one, the Trump administration's withdrawal from the UN Human Rights Council.
The decision of the U.S. to withdraw from the Human Rights Council showed once again the U.S. reluctance to have a civilized dialogue with the global community on human rights.
Countries also talked about the U.S.'s ongoing use of the death penalty and its failure to combat housing discrimination, to sign international human rights agreements, and to provide universal health care, especially during the COVID pandemic. India recalled the need to address the gender pay disparity.
And ensure equal pay for work of equal value at workplaces.
Croatia talked about the U.S. failure to combat gun violence.
And implement regulations with the aim of removing the so-called gun show loophole.
Others suggested steps to address hate speech, violence against LGBTQ people, and climate change. They asked the U.S. to close Guantanamo, rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement, and lift sanctions on members of the International Criminal Court. Mexico highlighted the detention conditions for migrants.
Ensure the conditions appropriate to detention centers, prioritize family unity, and safeguard the best interest of the child.
Nearly all the countries recommended that the U.S. take steps to investigate and punish police misconduct. Argentina mentioned George Floyd by name.
Including measures to prevent murders such as that of George Floyd and to ensure that justice is brought when these occur.
Conservatives see the recommendations as inherently flawed because they believe the UN is biased and politicized, says Brett Schaefer at the Heritage Foundation. He questions a Human Rights Council that includes members accused of gross human rights violations, like China.
For countries with such serious human rights problems to be so easily elected to sit on the Human Rights Council tells you a lot about how seriously other member states take the issue of human rights and the desire that they have to actually advance human rights standards and principles in an objective way.
The Trump administration responded to some of the recommendations, saying that there are no plans to shut Guantanamo and that unchecked migration is dangerous. They said the George Floyd protests this summer led to lawlessness. This was James McCammond, Deputy Undersecretary at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, at the review.
It was with alarm and disbelief this year that we saw violent anarchists, violent opportunists, and criminals set fire to many U.S. communities, kill innocent people, assail private property, and target our law enforcement officers.
Joanne Kamath Ward of Columbia Law School's Human Rights Institute says ultimately the Trump administration's attempt to rewrite history won't matter because its successor, the Biden administration, will have to deal with reality.
It will be really important when we have a new administration to be prepared with some really concrete and measurable action that's aligned, again, with the globally recognized norms.
The Biden administration will ultimately be the one to accept or reject the recommendations, since the U.S. has until March 2021 to consider them. And Kamath Ward says they'll provide an important roadmap for the new president as he plans to rejoin the Human Rights Council and the global community. For The World, I'm Rupa Shenoy.